For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. The Biden administration, on the other hand, says inflation has been beaten. And meanwhile, Steve, the mortgage rate is 7.5%, which is killing middle-class homeowners and would-be purchasers of homes. What do you make of it all, Mr. Steve Forbes?
I feel like saying a plague on all their houses. the Federal Reserve still believes that prosperity causes inflation. They're still very upset that there's a very low unemployment rate. Their wages are going up, even if for many people they're not matching the rise in prices. So they're going to try to trash the economy again. And you already mentioned what's happening to mortgage rates. With interest rates going up, companies and individuals refinancing their debt. You're already starting to see it hit the car market where interest rates are going up. Credit card debt is going up in terms of interest rates. You try to get a home equity loan, good luck. And now at the same time, Larry, the regulators are putting in new capital requirements on banks. That they're going to make them less likely to lend at a time when the economy is facing serious headwinds. We all know what's happening with China. We all know what's happening with Japan and Europe. So this is just bizarre. If you sat down and say you were the Joker, said, how do we make life miserable, you would write Jay Powell speeches.
What? God, that's great. What is inflation whooped? I mean, that's a big issue because when you sort of parcel through these consumer price reports and you look at what's happened to the level of prices over the last couple of years, 2 years, 2.5 years, you know, kitchen tables are talking about gasoline prices. They're talking about food and grocery prices. You mentioned car prices. You can't get a car loan. I mean, what is the inflation story and what should we do about it?
Well, the inflation story is, and you've mentioned it a number of times, is even if the official rate is coming down, prices in many areas are still going up, which is why you have the phenomenon of people with upper incomes going to Walmart. They want to get more value for their dollars. People are spending more on necessities and being very careful where their extra dollars go. So you have a good part of the population now facing financial distress. So in terms of the inflation, the way they should do it is the way we used to do it for 200 years very successfully, and that is to tie the dollar to gold or at least look at commodity prices that Alan Greenspan did for a while when he was the head of the Federal Reserve. And so you get relative stability for the dollar, and that's how you conquer inflation. The rest of it will work for the system. So I feel like throwing up when I hear the Fed officials talk about, well, this part of the economy, prices are rising still too much, or the wages, blah, blah, blah. There's this central planning. Leave it alone. The economy is people, and people figure it out on their own.
What is it? So let's look at, I mean, I love the gold story, and I like the commodity-backed dollar. What does that stuff tell you?
What that stuff tells you right now is the dollar, if they would announce stability for the dollar, we're facing a pressure on the economy. So there are indexes which are lagging inflation, which are lagging indicators, the labor market, which is a lagging indicator. All this tells you is the Federal Reserve piling on now is going to hurt the economy, not help it. It's going to make the fight against, it's going to make growth more difficult. And we all know what happens politically when you have a slow growth economy. You get more pressure for spending, which means more bond buying, which by the Fed, which means more inflation down the road. So I just wish they would just say, well, they won't, but let's play fantasy world for a while. It's Saturday morning. They peg gold at 1900 or say we're going to start doing dust off Alan Greenspan speeches from the 90s. We can highlight them, the appropriate quotes, and give them to Jay Powell. Leave the economy alone.
I think that's a great point. The gold prices have been fairly steady for a while now, probably a year, all right? And so that may be telling us the, you know, the Fed's going to go, they're going to launch into overkill, as you say, to kill the economy because they believe there's a trade-off between unemployment and inflation. I mean, they're probably, I would say it, they're probably in better shape on this, Steve, than they themselves realize.
That's what's so bizarre. The patient is getting better. Mm. So stop bleeding them. Mm. let them get out of bed. Get back to a normal life.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premis, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
No, I think that's right. I mean, I think that's an interesting point you're making. They have drained about $1 trillion, a little less than $1 trillion, from their balance sheet. They're not buying bonds anymore, or at least they're reducing their bond purchases. And the dollar's probably in better shape. It's just that they won't focus on that. So they're
going to
make.
It's amazing. They never mention, not one central banker ever mentions stability of the currency, stability of the dollar, never mentioned. And
so that
is just totally bizarre. And people are going to look back when we finally come to our senses and say, what was going through their minds? Inflation, by definition, is lowering the value of your currency. Ask the Argentinians where that can lead to.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's a really important point. In your book, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It, this is the how to fix it part. And as I say, they're in better shape than they realize. And if they, you know, if the White House, I mean, I know they're not going to do this, but if you had supply side growth policies with lower taxes and regulations and so forth, we would be producing more goods, and there's less high powered money out there, and the currency is rather steady. I mean, if you could get this done correctly, we're not that far away from it.
No, there's a movie called The 1980s. We are alive
yes,
then.
Right.
And it worked then, and it can work today. But, you know, with the Federal Reserve still misbehaving with an obsolete theory, we now have one of the most daring political coups in history, especially in a democracy. You know, when we were growing up, when schools used to have real literature courses, we read a book called 1984 by George Orwell,
mm-hmm.
about an authoritarian society, Big Brother, where the authorities saw every aspect of your life. That's what's unfolding today. All these rules on EVs, all these green rules are controlling businesses. Mm-hmm. You've cited that memo from the Treasury Department on the first anniversary of the alleged Inflation Reduction Act, which is really the Green Control of the Economy Act, the Green Complex, Green Industrial Complex. So they control companies, and at the same time, they control our lives. So I don't know why, you've hit it before, why the Republicans don't make fun of this, every aspect of your life, everything that makes life worth living, more convenient. They want to wreck, whether it's air conditioners, shower heads, gas stoves, pizzas in New York, washing machines, dishwashers, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, everything, now ceiling, anything that works that makes life better, they want to control. So every aspect of your life is under their control. And now with more digitalization, they can see what you buy and what you don't buy. Mm. A Chinese social credit system is coming. Mm. Oh, you're drinking too much. We must fight obesity in the name of obesity. We're going to restrict you to this, that, and the other thing. And we've got to wake people up to it. When people realize the enormity of what's happening, they're going to say, no way.
Yeah, they've done it again. So now, just in the last few days, the Energy Department is going to ban ceiling fans. Business is going to go out. You're going to have to buy a new ceiling fan, or maybe you can't buy one at all. And the other thing is, the White House has put out, you can only have two drinks a week I'm not a drinker, but the point is, why are they telling us? We, in the earlier in the show, Mark Simone, our pal Mark Simone, called it police state. It's a police state stuff. There's no free. We just had Nigel Farage talking about it. What they tried to do to him and debank him in London, Steve. I mean, this is all crazy stuff. There's no common sense here. This is just crazy stuff.
And it's all done on the rubric of climate change, which has sort of become a cult. And nothing to do with science. And now we discover, now we're told, paper straws may not be good for you after they banned plastic straws. And a couple of things on that. One, on plastic straws, you realize if you take the unrecyclable plastics in a couple of wind farms, you know, each one has 900 tons of unrecyclable plastics, there are more plastics in those wind farms, two wind farms, than all the plastic straws and plastic cups in the world. Mm. So stop it. And these paper straws now, terrible. Now they're poisoning us. So back off. And we can't even buy old electric light bulbs. Where's consumer choice?
That's
but it's
it.
All about control, Larry. And they're doing it under the name of climate. And if you object, they have all the names ready to shame you and silence you.
Now, you've said this, modern socialism through the regulatory state. That's exactly right. This is right out of Friedrich Hayek. And it is Orwellian. You're exactly right on all those points. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, if you hadn't guessed, we're talking to the great Steve Forbes, chairman, editor-in-chief of Forbes Media. His latest book with Elizabeth Ames, Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Steve, on the other side, let's talk about the Republicans and the debate, because I don't think they're getting the job done. I'm Kudlow.
No,
take
not.
A quick break. We'll be right back with Steve Forbes.
Larry Kudlow. Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking to the great Steve Forbes, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and his most recent book, Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Steve, so you're making some great points. Critique the Republican debate without Donald Trump. What did you make of it? Did they get these messages out there?
The answer is on the economic side, they still, let's be charitable, have a lot of work to do. So I think they came across as a people of a first rate of substance. And I think that impresses the country that this party has real bench, former governors who got real things done. And I think in terms of the economic side, I was glad that Vivek Ramaswamy at least mentioned the need for a stable dollar. His foreign policy I have issues with, but at least he's got the Fed in his crosshairs. Rightly, I hope the others do the same. But what I'm looking for, and Nikki Haley impressed, and so did and Ron DeSantis finally stopped his free fall. But I think what really needs to be done is they have to put forth Reagan-esque, remember old Kemp Roth, big tax cut, simply saying renewing the Trump tax cuts, not enough. We got to do more. Mm. Make it bigger. Mm. Make it huger. And do something like the flat tax. Be bold. People are in the mood for it. Take on the Federal Reserve and make fun of this regulatory binge, which has ominous implications that any part of your life is now going to be under government control. They should be slamming that. Because as people realize, what, is this serious? Then I think people are going to say, not only are we going to vote for the person at the top, we're going to vote the entire ticket, because this party now has a principled platform for progress.
Yeah, nobody mentioned the regulatory state. Ramaswamy talks about it. He mentioned the flat tax. And also, I will say, Pence talked about extending and expanding on the what he called the Trump-Pence tax cuts. The others didn't do that. I mean, I didn't really hear a growth message. It's sort of parts of it, Steve, yes, but I didn't really hear that in the debate.
Just let me say, just in 1980, the party was in favor of the Kemp-Roth 30% across the board tax cuts, but in the presidential race, only Ronald Reagan made it a forceful centerpiece. So it's not enough to say, oh, yeah, I like that. It's number 8 on my list of things to do. You got to put it at the forefront, front and center, and that's what they haven't done yet, this group.
Yeah, growth and prosperity. Look, like him or not, Trump bashes away climate change, deregulation, tax cuts. I mean, I think he still has a very strong message. What did you make of Ramaswamy? I mean, he kind of won that debate, I think.
Well, I think he perhaps overdid some parts of it. And the Ukraine part, I want him to go online, go to Wikipedia and look up Czechoslovakia, Munich 1938, to see what these things can mean. But that's another subject for another time. So it's
no, that's an important point. That's an important point.
And the other thing is he's got to then lay out in more detail. He's got some good ideas, and he's got a future, and he's got to show that he's got the maturity and the chops to occupy the big chair. And Pence and the others, I was glad Nikki Haley came through, maybe Secretary of State, but they've got to put forth the Reagan-esque kind of proposal. And Reagan did it, and they also should remind, as you've done, that the deregulation movement that is made possible, critical of the booming 1980s, was started by the Democrats in transportation. Reagan continued it in energy and elsewhere critically, but planes, trains, and trucks, they're all the start of the liberation under the Democrats. Teddy Kennedy took on the Teamsters Union. Who would have thunk it?
Yes. No, you're totally right. Ted Kennedy was good on it. Carter was good on it. Reagan picked up on it, but it was a Democratic thing. So, Steve, are you going to go, speaking of this, let's have some fun here. Are you going to go Monday night to the Robert Kennedy meeting? We're going to have dinner with him, Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Are you going to go to that? And what do you think of Robert Kennedy Jr.? Does he understand what his uncle did? That's going to be a key question.
Yeah, and unfortunately, won't be able to make the dinner, but he was at a thing called Freedom Fest, a group of meeting of libertarians last July. Mm-hmm. And he is a smart guy. He hit all the right keynotes with that group, hitting the libertarian angle. So he doesn't get the taxes. I wish he would, because his party badly needs a tutorial on that. And he's got so if he does something like that, I think he can put more juice in his campaign. Mm-hmm. He's around 15-20%. Mm-hmm. But that's a real protest against Biden. And by the way, people say, well, the country doesn't like a Biden-Trump contest again. Well, they're not going to get it. I can tell you, Joe Biden is not going to be the Democratic nominee in 2024 with everything that's going on.
So you're the second guy. You're the second guy on this show. Mark Simone said the same thing. All right. Let's have some fun on this one. So Biden's not going to get it. So Steve Forbes, who's going to come in and take him out?
If I knew that, I'd be in Las Vegas laying the odds and finally making it to the Forbes 400 rich list. But you're gonna see a real push by Gavin Newsom. Mm-hmm. And Newsom proposed that he have a debate with Ron DeSantis. I don't know if that's ever going to come about. I hope it does, because I think it'd be good for the country to see the vivid contrast between California and Florida. And I think it would be humbling for Gavin Newsom, because one thing DeSantis does is he does his briefs. He knows his stuff, to point out what a disaster. And one of the good things, as you know, about our federal system is blue states versus red states. We have a laboratory going on. What states are working best? What states are in the most trouble? And that kind of debate, and the candidate should be hammering on that, too. We see what works and doesn't work. It's right before our eyes.
I think if DeSantis...
By the way, and other candidates they'll be throwing out, there's another word that throwing goes with, but the governor of North Carolina, who declared a state of emergency when they passed school choice, even though his daughter goes to a private school, the governor of Michigan, which is doing all she can to wreck fossil fuels with the auto industry, And they don't have much of a bench. And then you have Joe Manchin making noises about a third party. But so the Democrats have a problem, but they know that Joe Biden can't lead them. I'm going to stop now because I'm going to say things that will get me in trouble.
That's just okay.
I might be debanked.
So, you know, if DeSantis had talked about California versus Florida or New York versus Florida, you know this story. I mean, I've talked about this on the TV show a lot. New York, if you live in New York City, you pay a 14.8% marginal tax rate. If you live in Miami, you pay a zero tax rate. And if you, the Florida economy is growing three times the rate of the New York economy. And Florida has a bigger population than New York, but Florida's budget is half the size of New York. I mean,
That's wild.
Steve, if this, you know, originated with a Wall Street Journal editorial, I wrote about it and talked about it, others have talked about it. If Ron DeSantis had talked about that stuff, I think he'd be in much better shape than he is today.
And he would be in better shape, and also the party would be in better shape.
Yeah.
Because candidates down ballot have to know this is the way to go. This is the way you get people on your side. This is the what Ronald Reagan understood. Not everyone was going to agree with his agenda, but he made sure what was key to his agenda. He dominated the dialogue. Mm. This is what my candidacy is about. And when they'd ask him, well, you got these nutbags backing you up, he said, I set the platform. If they want to endorse me, they're endorsing my platform. Mm. He did that in a positive way. So don't let the headlines do it. Don't let the questioners do it. Do it yourself. And I think people will respond positively to it.
Good for you. Steve Forbes, terrific stuff. Can't thank you enough. Please, folks, get his book. It's so instructive. Inflation, what it is, why it's bad, and how to fix it. There's nobody better than Steve Forbes. Folks, we're going to break. On the other side, we're going to do some stock market work. Stay tuned. I'm Kudlow. Much more to come.